To get your home discipleship habits in good working order is a simple concept to understand, but it is not necessarily easy to execute, to actually accomplish. And if you've tried it in the past, you know how true this is. In a lot of ways, tests come into our life and tests are good. If we see the role that test plays, why God allows us to be tested. So today, we're going to talk about tests in your home discipleship connection. Now remember, tests make you strong. You know, we have tests here at Christian Leaders Institute. You study, you have tests. The tests exercise your knowledge. I find it interesting in Judges 3, verse 1, "These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan." I am always reminded of King Henry VIII's son, who was so worried that his son would die of disease and not take over, that he created this environment where everything was, you know, filled with no germs as much as they could do, and so forth. So this kid never hardly went out, and he had this almost laboratory-like environment. And in late in his teens, he dies of disease. It's like he had zero resistance. I think tests are very important. Tests make us stronger. They inoculate us against dangers. When a child falls down, they learn something. You know, I often believe that some of my greatest strengths were right on the heels of some of my greatest failures, because the tests asked me who I am. They ultimately made me stronger. So tests are very important. We need tests. The Apostle Paul talks about a test, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7, "to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there is given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." A lot of times we think about messengers of Satan that it's just a bad thing, but God allows even the devil to test us. The devil, Satan, will not win in Christ, but these tests make us stronger, make us dependent on the Lord more, help us become more humble. We need tests. So now we want to walk with God. We want to be in ministry. We want to do ministry training. Do you know that when you signed up to do ministry training, a test began? I call it the test of ministry training. Walk, preparation, follow through are all part of ministry training. And when you're at the training here itself, to even accomplish the classes is a test. And this test strengthens your muscle, your ministry muscle, your ministry abilities. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but please God who tests our hearts." It's fascinating to me. I have met now thousands of Christian Leaders Institute graduates, traveled various places in the United States, the world, and Brian DeCook has met these leaders as he's traveled recently in Africa. Abby, now Dominiac, my daughter, has traveled and met people. Brian, I mentioned, Steve Elzinga, board members. And one of the things that we find is that a graduate of Christian Leaders Institute has been tested. When they started ministry training, there was spiritual warfare that tried to stop you. You probably know what I'm talking about. Stuff you just can't make up. It tested your thinking. Many people had limited amount of English, and they've had to be tested on their knowledge of English. Some of them had to take the English literacy classes. They were tested as to who they really were. Do they really want to grow? There were tests with their priorities. All these tests came. But I'll tell you, the tests make for a more powerful, through the power of the Holy Spirit, a more connected ministry leader. Without these tests, and I've also seen the opposite. I've seen people who are ministry leaders or they're in ministry leadership positions where they've had no education, where they've had few tests. They just kind of do things how they feel, and they call it the Holy Spirit. And I've seen the damage that has come to so many lives. So we are tested. And the tests are very important. So let's talk about some of these tests. Well, one test is the test of the flesh. Deuteronomy 8:16. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. That's right. The test of the flesh. We are flesh and blood. And that test alone asks questions about our leadership. Sometimes we're tested in a desert. Things go really poor in our life for a while. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. I know that desert experiences are often no fun. But they test you. They test us. It's often in those desert experiences that the Lord shows up and he saves you. You know, many of you have talked about that in your testimonies, and as you write your testimonies, when you share your desert experiences, you encourage others, hey, I had desert experiences. The Lord showed up. Yes, don't despair. What's truly in your heart? Those are the issues. Tests do come. What is in your heart? Well, what about the test of personal responsibility? Galatians 6, verse 4. Each one should test his own actions, then take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Can you actually accomplish something? You know, I've talked about ministry training. Can you actually stick with it, get this first class actually done? After you do the first class, can you find a way to get the next class done? Can you take responsibility of this? Despite the fact that I know that there are challenges, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know your situation. I don't know how it is that you can even get any of these classes done. But will you take responsibility and actually get things done? And I know the tests are all over the place. And that's not just the only test. Maybe you have the identity tests that are right before you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you'll discover that we have not failed the test. Who are you? Who are you at the core of your existence? If at your core you are not in the Lord, definitely quit this ministry training. There's a test. And I know you struggle with sin and I struggle with sin. I know we struggle with spiritual warfare. But at our essence, despite all of our struggles with the flesh and with sin and with warfare, Jesus says, if you are not for me, you are against me. Are you for Christ? Are you one who, in the end of the day, persecution came to you, would you say, I follow Jesus? You know, there are so many stories that are coming out of the world right now of people. I heard a story of people who a bus was overtaken by some extremist of another religion. And the extremist would ask people whether or not they believed in Christ. And if they believed in Christ, they would be executed. Many were executed. Some were not. In the early church, that was an issue with martyrdom. People would then, you know, fail this test. And then after they failed the test, they felt so bad. And there was a whole discussion about how to come back. Now, fortunately, God is gracious. And we can fail the test of identity and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And God's unconditional love comes back to us. But the test is very important, that we ask ourselves, who are we? Are we in the faith? Now, having said all that, there are common tests that we get challenged with that will affect ministry training, that will affect whether we can get a devotional life, whether we can lead others in ministry. Let's just talk about some of them. Let's call them common walls that test us. The wall of procrastination, you know, putting things off. The wall of our feelings. We just can't do anything because our feelings just keep us away, and I don't feel like doing it, so I don't do it. The test of a critical attitude. This test is whatever you do, you just have such a critical attitude that it stymies you. Nothing's perfect. You know, you do ministry training and you find that you find a typo or you find something not perfect. And, you know, at Harvard, they would have that done that way. Or at the community college, it would be this way. And then it stymies you and you think, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this. Well, you know what? You probably treat the rest of your life that way. In fact, everyone who knows you know that you have a critical attitude and it constantly tests you. And maybe you were raised by critical parents. And so this critical wall is critically there and it always critically holds you back. Now, brother, sister, I'm not being condescending to you at all. I just want you to thrive. And if that critical attitude has held you back and that wall is testing you, it's time, by the grace of God, to start seeing the sunny side of life in the Holy Spirit, to see where things operate and can work and be better. Maybe for you it's just you're unfocused and you're open to distraction. Hey, many of us understand that. You know, there's all these new labels of things. And, you know, ADD, ADHD, and dyslexia. Hey, I understand. I am a thorough dyslexic, and I am very distractible, and I understand that it is very difficult at times to stay focused. And it's almost like, you know, the test of focus, and for many years of my life, I just struggle to be focusing on, and maybe that's your struggle. And, you know, back when I grew up, we didn't have Ritalin and stuff like that, and I would never recommend Ritalin because I had to learn how to focus without any drugs. I had to focus out of my will to get it done. Now, and I say this, and I feel almost like, oh, I'm not better than anybody. I'm not better than you and all these things. I just know it can be done by God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can face our walls. You can face your walls. I can face my walls. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God and help from other people, we can face them and move beyond whatever holds us back. I believe that. I believe that for you. Maybe it's lack of boundaries with people. You know, maybe your life is so filled with pleasing others that you can't get anything done and you're so drained and you're so on empty that you just feel like, I can't do anything. And maybe for you it's that test of, you know, what relationships need to be in my life. there's certain relationships that bring me down, and that's my test. Or I have so many wonderful relationships, I just need to find a way to be alone. So I announce to everyone, from this time to this time, I'm working on my ministry training. From this time to this time, this is when I have a walk with God. Some people have a life that's so difficult. A single mom, if you're a single mom out there, you're just running this race, how is it that you can find some time? It's about boundaries, and I know you can do it and you can get help. You know, it is difficult. You know, it's difficult to do anything that is building and growing. Maybe it's the test of sin. And yes, you understand it, and sin is ever so close. You know, really, sin is ever so close to all of us. But if you're struggling with a sin right now, this is the time to bring that before the Lord and ask for His power and His healing, or maybe to confess it to someone else and to work on this. Now, understand, like Paul had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan. Let even the fact that you have sin in your life and you have some struggles, let it not take you down and push you out. Maybe that struggle with that one thing will be there your whole life, but you've learned how to minimize its impact. You've learned how to, by God's grace, keep it in a place that does not harm your ministry publicly, or does not harm your ministry in your relationships, and does not harm your marriage, does not harm your home. We're not talking like perfect people. We know we are saved by grace, and we are on a sanctifying journey. But if there's a wall that holds you back, face that wall and bring it before the Lord. And I understand, when you bring it before the Lord, what will happen next is major spiritual warfare. And maybe that's a wall that you have. I mean, in a lot of ways, all these tests have this in common. They ask us who we really are. Are we a called minister? Are we a called Christian leader? Are we a called revival leader? Are we those who, as it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Those who believe and are saved. Who are we? Are we people of faith? You know, I want to surround my life with people who are saying, yeah, Henry, you can do it. Go for it. I want to encourage you to do the same. There are tests. The tests make us strong. You know, we will all have various tests. You know, just recently, a few months ago, this is now October of 2019, in June of 2019, my father had the test of death, the work of death. And it was incredible. I was with him at the end, the last few days, and even when he went unconscious. But even the weeks before, I mean, it was becoming clearer and clearer that he had little time on the earth. And it was amazing how he held on to the Lord in that test. In all of his life as a Christian, he was prepared. And even at the very end, there was a worker, a person in the early 20s who had contemplated suicide and who... Even attempted it with his Subaru car, but the Subaru wouldn't let him die. And he was watching my dad. And then he came in to watch the interaction with my dad. And then he came and he said, I have a question for you. Can you tell me about a relationship with God? Because I watch people die here all the time. And your dad has joy. Will you tell me about his joy? Will you tell me what it is? So I shared the gospel with that young man, and he said the sinner's prayer, and he began a relationship with God because he saw how my dad was addressing the test of death. The test of death was bringing out of my dad hope. So for my dad, going through this test, he showed that it was not just end of life care for my dad It was end of death reality. Death was gone because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, here we are, beginning our ministry training. And there are tests. The tests can make you bitter. They can make you blame others. You can get stymied and quit, or these tests, whether they're tests of devotions, tests in your marriage, they're tests in your personal life, these tests can be used by God to strengthen your walk, to strengthen your leadership. You know, through it all, have you learned to trust in Jesus? Have you learned to trust in God? I ask that God will make himself so real to you. And I want to conclude this session with a prayer, because this needs prayer. Oh Lord, each of us have been tested, and the tests continue. And as my father in the last test echoed the words of the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now in store for me is the crown of righteousness, which God, the righteous judge, will award to me, but not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. May that be our attitude as we are prepared for ministry. And in the moments that we have on this earth till our last breath, and these tests come and these tests go, may your grace be ever real. May your power be made perfect in weakness. May your life be our life. May your hope be our hope. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.